So when we talk about each of these, I actually like to think about them as pretty cleanly or pretty simplistically applying to three different parts of an investment portfolio. So we talk about alignment. This is the historically the approach that has been taken when people think about responsible or socially responsible investing, where it's how do you align an individual, or in this case, a nonprofit organization, their mission, their goals as an organization, how do we align that with their investments? This is not about performance. This is not about doing well by doing good. This is about making sure that if we have exposures to certain things that would be objectionable, is there a way to screen them out of our portfolio and do so without impacting the returns of our portfolio? So we like to say this kind of applies to parts of your portfolio where you're just trying to track a benchmark. It's passive. It's benchmark aware. You want to own the S&P 500, but you said, listen, as an organization, we would feel better not owning XYZ, and that can vary by organization, or we'd like to tilt more into something such as better gender diversity, and can we do that without deviating too much from our benchmark? I'd say most of our clients fall into the why not or why bother bucket of this camp of using this tool. The why not tool, why not bucket is sort of, well, if we can do that, and we as an organization can make the claim that we're investing in line with our core mission and values, but not deviate from our risk and return profile, then great. Why not? Other clients say, why bother? What's the point of doing that? You know, we sell one share of a stock. Someone else is going to go out and buy it. The impact is going to be so minimal. I'd rather spend my, my time and focus evaluating opportunities in these other tools I'll talk about next, leaning more into some of our the solutions that are in line with our organization's mission. So that's where we switch to talking about ESG integration and impact investing. And ESG integration is really, again, in public markets, but where you're looking to invest in managers, where they're going to leverage those environmental, social, and governance factors I laid out on the previous pages and use those as additional data sets and additional tools to help protect on the downside from any risks that may be identified and produce better returns for the companies that they're selecting in their portfolios over the long term. So this one's a little bit less tangible. It's referred broadly as ESG integration. And it's also a little bit of the kind of just good investing bucket, right? Like it makes sense in this day and age that an investment manager would look at how well companies are treating their workers, how efficient they're being with their resources, right? All of those things are going to affect the bottom line. And so can a manager look at these sort of traditionally non-financial factors to help drive the investment returns in their portfolio. Then you've got impact investing, which is really the purview of private markets. You're seeing some stuff pop up in public markets, public equity, fixed income, that's being thought of as more impact-oriented. But for the most part, it tends to be in private markets, thinking about more thematic, more niche, oftentimes more early stage investing in companies where you're looking to identify companies that are going to, have a financial return, but the way they do that is by providing a solution, an environmental or social, a solution to an environmental or social challenge. So this is more measurable. You can get impact reporting. You can really understand kind of the effect that you're having much more so than the alignment and the integration tools. Now, switching gears a little, just to kind of say how this kind of fits in the world of, given that this is, a nonprofit audience, how does this fit into the world of philanthropy and into the world of nonprofits? So there's a spectrum here for these three tools of alignment, integration, and impact investing in terms of, how much of an impact you can actually have. You can see we've got them on the left side of this screen here as being deemed as market rate. The idea being that for us and for our clients and the way we're talking about this and the way we think that you're able to accomplish this is all based on market rates of return, meaning we're not looking to give up any return in order to accomplish these goals or use these tools in a portfolio. That's not to say there's not a place for that in a portfolio. And frankly, that's something that I know Nancy can speak to, in a little while or as part of her comments. But when we think about concessionary, that tends to be more impact investing where it's impact first and returns are secondary. Sometimes that can come in the form of PRIs or MRIs, so mission-related investments or you know, or PRIs associated with program-related investments associated with the organization's mission as a way of achieving your 5% annual spend target. And then, of course, the pure example of a concessionary kind of impact investment would be philanthropy, right? Giving $100 and expecting nothing back in return versus expecting something back, but maybe not all of it, or maybe not your you know, any financial return. So again, what I'm going to be talking about today is primarily these market rate tools, but we just wanted to show where that kind of all fit on the spectrum. And you can also see that the alignment is furthest left in terms of impact, meaning doing so is more around this aligning of values and less around having an impact on the challenges or the mission that the organization may have, as distinct from impact investing on the right side of that spectrum can have the most impact, the most tangible outcomes.